to become free of the bondage of the name and form. The name and the form causes this terrible bondage. It has such a stranglehold on our awareness that we feel that the love or whatever I seek comes to me from that particular form. And thus we get attached to it. It keeps on changing and we get dragged behind all those changes. While we are actually looking for something that is unchanging. So, the dilemma is there that where is this unchanging substance that runs in and through these changing things? And this idea is developed here that as we were seeing in the verses 8, 9, that whatever you consider important or that which constitutes thatness of anything, Lord says, I am that. So, gives the example here that I am the wetness of water, sapidity of water, because of which we consider water to be important, that it quenches our thirst, and he, Lord, says, I am that. That is what constitutes the waterness. Similarly, he says, the light in the sun and the moon, the shining aspect of that, and I am that. Similarly, that the different elements, they have their particular qualities which constitute the identity of that element. Lord says that I am that. For he says in the verse 10th, Bijam mam sarvabhutanam Vidhi partha sanatanam Buddhir buddhimatam asmi Tejas tejasvinamaham. Know me, O Partha, to be the eternal seed of all beings. I am the intelligence of the intelligent and the prowess of the powerful. That seed, you know, the whole plant, one should understand that the analogy is always limited. You can't stretch it too much. What is to be told, that needs to be understood from this example. The idea that the tree, whole tree is contained in the seed. And then it manifests, comes out from the seed, goes back to seed. So, that's just as the seed, as it were, is manifested in the whole tree. So also, that Lord is manifesting in and through all beings. Sarva Bhutanam, that's a very beautiful word. Sarva Bhutanam means whatever has come into existence. That is the meaning of this word Bhuta. Bhuta means that which comes into existence. That is the root of that word is Bhu. Bhu means to come in existence, that which exists. So whatever comes into existence, the cause of that or the seed of that is Lord says, I am the seed in all that you see. It is the idea. They change. What does not change is that they are divine. That is the only thing that does not change about any person or any object. take any object, you know, you will see the very fact that it exists in the space-time continuum means there is change. It is subject to change. Our observation is also that of change. So, but yet one fact does not change, and that is that it exists. And that existence comes from the Lord. Lord alone is the existence in everything. That, therefore, the question really doesn't come at all in the this in Vedanta, that whether God exists or not. God exists or not is a question like, say, black hole exists or do not exist. And something that we just speculate from certain ideas or certain calculations, certain observations, and then scientists, they go on debating about it, whether there is life on some other planet than Earth or not, whether it exists or not. You keep on debating about it. In that sense, the word that whether God exists or not is not at all relevant, because God is the existence itself. Not that it comes into existence and goes away, like every other thing that we see. That, like, for example, this microphone in front of me. There was a time when this was not. There was some probably metal. This metal might have been somewhere under the crust of the earth, somewhere maybe in China or some other place. And then it got this form. Then it came into existence as a microphone. It goes on changing. After a while, it may not be functional as microphone. It will be discarded. It will again go back to the things from which it was made. Again, those things will keep on altering the forms. What does not go away is the existence that manifested in this form. That existence is God. This microphone doesn't exist because the existence is not the essential feature of it. It exists for a time being. It is reflected, that existence is reflected in it for a time and then goes away. So, that which gets expressed through the microphone or any other object, but does not remain as the intrinsic quality of it, that existence in itself is God. That is what is called God. That which is. Isness is, it is therefore difficult to express in language. This isness of anything comes from divine, which alone is, capital is, that alone is. From that, its existence gets into these changing names and forms, which appear and disappear. Do they exist? Well, can you say that if there is a reflection of yourself in the mirror, when you stand in front of the mirror, you see your reflection there. You are in the mirror. Are you there in the mirror? No. If you try to catch yourself there, you won't find. Moreover, even the reflection will not be seen if you move away from it. You are not there. You appear there and disappear. Similarly, the existence appears and disappears in these names and forms. It comes and goes. In fact, its very perception is that of coming and going. It is like that you say that something is going, 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 gone. So, similarly, the human existence comes into existence born. And we give a big birthday party and all that. It is all relatives are invited, friends are invited. This is this child is born. And child is born means the march towards death has begun now. That is the meaning of life, that the fellow is now marching towards death, changing, continuously changing, marching towards death, going, 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 gone. So, was that fellow existed? What was existing? And like it is the changing of the form, that form was continuously changing. What existed, what appeared to exist there was the existence of God. God alone was existing in and through all this. The forms, they appear and disappear. Let us feel this idea. It is that our attachment, our attractions for the forms is really making us bound and bringing misery in our life. There is no happiness that comes by getting attached to forms, because you really cannot get attached to it. It keeps on changing, and thus you get frustration to your lot in trying to stick on to that, because God alone is there in and through all of them. So Lord says, therefore, that bijam mam sarva bhutanam, whatever you see in existence, know the existence of that, the seed of that, which does not change. Sanatanam means that which did not come into existence, because it always existed. It is existence itself. Other things, they came into existence, and then that existence vanished from that form. It is the existence was not its intrinsic quality. Existence was just reflected in it, just as you get reflected in the mirror. Are you there? Not really. Similarly, do these things exist? Not really. It is only a reflected existence that we see around. The real existence is God alone. So, he therefore, Lord here clarifies that that existence does not go away from God alone. What is the intrinsic quality of anything which does not leave it at all? Then it is its intrinsic nature. Like if you add salt to something, that becomes salty. To the extent that you add salt in it. If you want to, make it less salty, put less salt. If you want a little more salty taste to it, you put more salt. But can you do that to salt itself? The saltiness of the salt you cannot wash away, you know. It is salt, it is that intrinsic nature of salt. That is the taste of salt itself. So you cannot take it away from that. But suppose you feel that this lasagna needs more salt, you can add a little more salt to it. If you feel that no, it may be too much, you don't add. So it is in that way, that the saltiness is not an intrinsic quality of it. So, it is or it is not, depending on whether you have put salt in it or not, and how much you put it. But about salt itself, you cannot say that. So, similarly, existence is put into these forms. It is not its intrinsic quality. It is less, more, and comes and goes. But with God, the existence is its nature. And therefore, God always is. It is not the like coming into existence and going out of existence. It is existence itself. So, the source of existence of everything, Sarva Bhutanam, whatever has come into existence, the source of that existence is God. Then, he says that wherever Buddhir Buddhimatam Asmi, wherever you see a manifestation of intelligence, somebody is very intelligent. Well, Lord says that it is manifestation of intelligence because I am that intelligence. That thing as such doesn't have any intelligence. Therefore, we see many intelligent people do very foolish things. It is that example of Newton is there, that he had two cats, and so he couldn't understand that he need not make two holes. He made two holes in his house for the cats to come in and go out. One big and another small. Big for the big cat and small for the small cat. Now, actually one would have been enough. But this great intelligence could not understand this simple thing. So, it is like that. Intelligence, many intelligent people, very bright in sometimes, but when that Lord is flashing through them, they are intelligent. That is the intelligence. Like this, you know, when electricity is on, that is this thing shines. It is not intrinsic quality of the glass there. It is because of the electricity. Switch the electricity off, it's that shine will go away. Similarly, very intelligent people. That nice story is there, a very intelligent professor, he and another almost illiterate kind of farmer, they were on a train journey together, long train journey, and they both were getting bored. Only the two were there, so this professor said, "Come on, let us play a little game. I will ask you one question, you will ask me one question. If you reply correctly, I give you $10. If you don't reply, if you cannot reply, you give me $10. Similarly, when you ask question to me," and the farmer guy said, "Well, very good, but it is, you know, you should give me some handicap. You are a big university professor. I am an ignorant farmer. So, if you win $10, if I win $20. And the professor thought that it's quite fair. It is, so he said, "Okay, come on." So, the farmer asked the question, "What is the name of that animal or that creature which has 7 wings, 5 heads and 18 legs?" The professor kept on thinking, and couldn't find any such animal. So, he took out a $20 bill from his wallet and said, "Okay, take this $20, you know, I can't find." And this farmer, he took out $10 and said, I also don't know. I also do not know. So, now, who is more intelligent, you say? It is. Now, this is a simple trick. But many intelligent people get caught into such very simple, foolish mistakes. So, Lord says, you are intelligent when I am flashing. My intelligence is flashing through you. And we all make, you know, silly mistakes. Not that we are not intelligent. Sometimes our intelligence, we do such intelligent things that it surprises us. That, well, I never thought I am that bright. How could I do it? Well, God was shining its intelligence through you at that time. Even if it is not shining, then you will do most silly things in the world. So, Lord says that those whom you call intelligence, I am intelligence in them. And tejas, tejas, vinam, aham. Some people are very shining, very powerful. Powerful in the sense, they are very bright in everything. They have very, as you speak to them, their influence, very influential. Automatically, their influence covers you, so to say. You get influenced by them. It doesn't happen with everyone. Some people have that charm about them. They tell you something and then immediately you get influenced by that person. So, where from does this come? Lord says that tej, that light, that is, I am that. They, here it is translated as powerful. Yeah, you can translate it like that. Tej has various meanings, various connotations in this in Sanskrit. So, a person is powerful. Well, yes, powerful. But who is? Where is the power? It comes from God. God says, "I am the power in the powerful. When I withdraw, that power goes away. It doesn't remain. It is." At the end of the war, Mahabharata war, this Bhagavad Gita is part of Mahabharata. Then, as you know, Lord Krishna was the charioteer and Arjuna was the fighter there. So, the custom, like the chauffeur, you know, when you get to the destination, the chauffeur comes out and opens the door for you and then you come out. So that used to be the everyday custom that Lord Krishna would get down and then after that give a hand to Arjuna to come out from the chariot. Every day that used to be the case. The war was almost coming to the end. It ended that day. And Pandavas, Arjuna's side was victorious. That day, things changed. At the end of that day, Lord told Arjuna, you get down first. And Arjuna had as such no problem, but he was surprised that why so many days the custom was different, why it is made today like this. But he accepted that he came down first. And then Lord jumped out of the chariot. And the moment Lord jumped out, the whole chariot burst into flames and was gone. Then Lord explained, you know, your chariot had been already destroyed because of so many weapons and missiles striking it. I was holding it together so long, but Had I got out earlier today, it would have burst into flame consuming you. And therefore, today I told you to get out first, because now the purpose of the chariot is over, and it will be gone now. Therefore, you come out first. So, the Lord gives strength to everything. After that, Shri Krishna, as you know the story probably, that gave up his body. And then all the women who used to live in Dwarka, Arjuna thought that they will all be orphans now, all those women and children there, because all men have died. So he decided to go and get them to their capital. The description in Mahabharata is wonderful. This hero Arjuna, who defeated such huge armies, his prowess in warfare was almost unmatched, especially when it comes to bow skills. He was the topmost. This warrior sets out to get all of them with army. And he took them from the Sri Krishna's city of Dwarka, because Dwarka was also going down in the that sea there, in the bay, Dwarka. So now also they show that where that city got submerged in the sea. So he took all of them, and as he was coming back, they were attacked by the local gangs in the forest and all that. And this mighty warrior could not defend himself or all of them. He had to just run away. All the wealth and all those women and children, they were snatched away by these ordinary dacoits. That Arjuna, with the power of Sri Krishna behind him, could do so much. Now Sri Krishna is gone. Lord has withdrawn the power. Now he cannot win battle against even the most ordinary thugs. So the idea that was illustrated there is that what we call our power is the power of the Lord. There is a story associated with Mahabharata. I don't know whether it actually comes in Mahabharata or not, but very beautiful story, that Arjuna was because he was fighting all the time with bows and arrows, he thought that bows and arrows could do everything. So, when he met some monkeys there, now that one of those monkeys was the form of Hanuman, the great devotee of Lord Rama. So, he asked them, you know, why did you have to build a bridge with all these heavy stones and all that? I could build a bridge with the arrows in such a short time. The monkey said that, well, you can build, no doubt, but, you know, it won't stand. Arjuna said, no, I will make with the bridge with arrows so strong that nothing will be able to break it. Come on. Arjuna said, I will do the bridge between these two hills and see how can anybody break it. And Arjuna, with his arrows, built a nice, maybe some kind of a cantilever or what, a bridge was built. And this Hanuman, he jumped on it, and the bridge was shattered into pieces. Then Arjuna said, "Well, you might have done this trick once. Let me again make it stronger." So he again made the bridge with the arrows, put more arrows and still this monkey jumped and then couldn't do anything. The bridge fell down. Arjuna could not save that bridge. Third time, Arjuna prayed to Lord, "Well, Lord, what is this? I am your devotee. My prestige is at stake." On the other hand, this other devotee, he was feeling, "Hey, how powerful I am." You know, this monkey, Hanuman, was feeling that, "I am so powerful. I have broken that bridge." So, this time when the bridge was built, this Hanuman jumped and jumped and jumped on it. Did not break. Nothing happened to the bridge this time. He was wondering why. Then the Lord appears there and said that, "Look, I am holding that bridge. It is my hand that is holding that bridge." It is said in that Lord Krishna has put his wheel, his disc there, and that disc was holding the whole bridge. So it is the parable or the story apart. The moral of the story is that whatever we consider as our power, it really comes from God. God is the power in everything. So let us feel that Sri Ramakrishna's that familiar example, that you put potatoes and onions and all the other that vegetables in a big water pot, they put it on the boil, on the fire, and then on the water you can see their dance, you know, they were you can see that they are dancing. And they may feel that, well, potato and onion, they may think that how nicely we are dancing here. Maybe they may have competition also who dance better. But none of them have any power to dance. It is the fire underneath that is making them dance. Put out the fire, their dance will stop. So similarly, "I can do this. I have the power to do this." If Lord allows, if the Lord lets you do it, then you can do it, not otherwise. It is the power of the Lord that makes things or breaks things. So, wherever you see manifestation of power, don't attribute it to a particular name and form. Know that it is the source of it is God. It is not coming from that thing itself, but it is from God. So, God says, "I am the source in that." Then he speaks of the power in a person, balam. Balam means the power or strength in a person, a strong person. Balam balavatam asmi kamaraga vivarjitam dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshabha. I am the strength of the strong, free from passion and attachment. And, oh, best of the Bharatas, I am the passion in people which is unopposed to one's duty or dharma. A very nice idea here, that I am the power or the strength in a strong person. But many things come with the strength. The person becomes arrogant, "I am strong," and then misuses the power. And Lord says, "I am not that misuse, I am only the power. The misuse is, don't attribute the misuse of it to me. The misuse was done by that fellow. The power belongs to me. The misuse belongs to that fellow. So, kama raga vivarjitam, that I am the strength of the strong, free from anger and passion. The anger or the craving or the desires for certain things, and when one is has the power or the strength, you feel that by my strength I will be able to get it. And so the strength gets misused to snatch things from others. Lord says that misbehavior, that anger, or that craving, passion, that is not coming from me. But the strength itself is my expression. Similarly, the kama or the passion or the desires, cravings, especially the craving for sexual enjoyment, that Lord says is also an expression of me, but dharma viruddho, means that which is sanctioned by the rules of righteous behavior or dharma. The kama, the passion, it gets excited in people. Now Lord says that it is because of me. I have put it there for a purpose. The misuse that you make of it, that doesn't belong to me. There are in the religious literature, the sages have put rules and regulations when and how and this passion needs to be given an expression. It should not be just an idea of getting pleasure in any way we can get. There are the proper rules for it. It is there as a opening of the wall. And then you don't keep the wall of a boiler open all the time. What will happen? It will just this all the steam, all the power will be wasted. At certain intervals, according to certain rules of pressure and all that, you release it. It is according to the requirement where the power is to be used. For that, the release of it is given. So, that is, there are rules, regulations associated with that. And Lord says that is me. It is not condemned as such. Not that this kama or the sexual passion, it is not condemned entirely. But it is, Lord says, in fact, it is me. But dharma viruddho, without encroaching upon the rules laid down about its expression. You have to follow the rules and then you will derive happiness and progress from it. Otherwise, that will be detrimental to your life. So, Lord expresses that it all is my expression. Wherever you feel that something that you feel proud about, remove that pride. It is the expression of God. That is what God lets us know, that whatever you feel as your capability is not your capability, it is the capability of Lord. Lord makes that happen. So, only the problems are generated by your not being a proper instrument. So, that needs to be corrected. But you should not take credit for the good things that you have. They all proceed from God. God makes that happen in you. So, again, therefore, the idea is to feel that strong connection with God as our everything, as our whole existence, whatever we have worth having is God. That is, therefore, we will, our minds then will turn to God, think in terms of God, and we will see that God is the most necessary thing to aspire for in our life. Other things are secondary, in fact, not important at all. So, in the next verse that is clarified, it is a very important verse, very often quoted, and which summarizes what we have discussed till now, and also presents it on a very philosophical basis. Ye chaiva sattvika bhava rajasa tamasaschaye matta eveti tan vidhi natvaham teshute mai. All those sattvika, serene, rajasa, active, and tamasika, passive states that are there, know them to be born of me alone. But I am not in them, though they abide in me. Lord is in everything. That gives a funny idea to us. That means then Lord also gets into all these sufferings and bondages because God is in me. So if I am in bondage, who is in bondage? And God is in me. I am in bondage, so God also must be in bondage being in me. It is as these ideas come to us because of which we feel that the God also gets tainted by the very fact that God is in us. I am not pure and God is in me. Moreover, God is the cause of me. So who gets the blame? God. The God did all this, so the blame should be going to God. So, therefore, this verse is very important that although everything, the sattvika, rajasika, tamasika, these things are the intrinsic constituents of every object or every person. It is constituted of these three materials, so to say. One is the active part. One is the inactive or inertiatic aspect. And the third is a balance between the two, which creates serenity, peace, calmness and that sort of thing. So, these three are seen in every expression. In everything we see a combination of these three and it keeps on changing. We will see the details of this in 14th chapter, how these three qualities, they mix and match with each other to create all these states and again their proportions and their appearance and disappearance changes. Like in this class, many of you, because of the difficult subject and the boring nature of this talk, may be feeling drowsy, sleepish, yawning from time to time. When is this Swami ultimately going to stop? And so forth. So, that is the expression of this tamas, inertia. And then there is this expression of serenity that you get the understanding of it. you feel that expression comes as peace and serenity. Yes, this understanding is bringing peace to me. Then there is the spirit of activity driven by desires, that we get the desire to do something and that springs the activity. That active part, all three are in a kind of continuous flux creating these objects. Lord says all of them are from me, but I am not in them. We shall continue the discussion on this verse next Friday. It is already 8:28. So, any questions, friends? Yes, Charles?
If God creates both the good and the bad, why is he responsible for the good or we're responsible for the bad?
Yes, it is Charles' question, a very logical, normal question, that this is unfair. If Lord created everything, he should take credit only for the good and make you responsible for the bad. That is unfair. No, he should take the whole, either take whole or give up whole. Why? This is not right, choosing only the good, that is mine, and whatever bad is belongs to you. No, this question actually is because that the aberrations are created by ego. The ego creates the aberration. Whatever is coming from the Lord is plain. The ego, I am apart, different from God, that makes aberration. And that makes the desires and angers come in us. And therefore, that doesn't, God says that is your production, that is not mine. I gave you pure mind, you tainted it with ego. And therefore what happens, because of I am apart from God, you are responsible for that.
You are actually using it in two different senses in the way. That in one sense, everything is God, but on the other sense, the more you get away from the ego that's going towards God, the more you have the ego that's getting away from God.
Yeah, everything is God. And when one knows this, there is no ego. So then everything is good. Now, I am. Now you create an aberration there, a distortion of reality. And yet it is reality, but distorted now. So whatever is still the part of the reality that belongs to God, the real, and whatever nonsensical things happening because of that, is, well, you are responsible for that. It is in that sense. Actually, it will get more clarified as we discuss this verse in details. But yes, it is sometimes does appear as strange. I can sympathize with Charles because I too used to think like that. That, wow, God seems to be I make everything. But then only good belongs to me, bad belongs to you fellow. It sounds illogical, unjustified, against the natural principle of justice. But when you understand, then things fit there. That is a good way of looking at it. Yes. That is a good way of looking at it. It is. Yes, you create a division of good and bad, and then you should move towards good and avoid bad, and therefore Lord has said like that, you can look at it from this angle also, because the purpose of the scripture is to motivate you and to go towards God. So, whatever is good, you will go towards that. Why should you go towards something that is not good? So, if God is all good, then you will be naturally propelled or be inclined to go towards God. So, that may be the idea behind it. It's quite understandable. Yeah. So, let us conclude with the closing prayers. As you know, coming Sunday, we will be having a day-long worship of Mother Durga. It is from 11 o'clock in the morning, and then through various programs, it will run up to 7 in the evening. You are all invited to attend full or whatever part of it you can join in. Gita sugita kartavya kimanyat shastra vistarehi ya swayam padmanabhasya mukha padmadvinesrita ekam shastram devaki putra gitam Eko devo devaki putra eva Eko mantrah tasya namaniyane Karmapyekam tasya devasya seva Shri Krishna arpanamastu